Hello and welcome to episode 130 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. Tinder has been a hot topic, especially back when it came out and changed the face of online dating from being centered around getting to know someone to picking a date, or frankly, a one-night stand based on appearance alone. So we're going to talk about that. Can Christians use Tinder? And even if we don't, are we functionally doing that already? I'm Derek Mast, and joining me all the way from Japan is Ryan Tankersley. How's it going, Tank?
I'm doing good.
Good. Excited to talk about this with you today. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Tinder. I think by now everybody knows Tinder and what it is. But just in case, it's a dating app where you see a picture of someone, you swipe right if you want to pursue, perhaps, maybe in the future, and you swipe left if you don't. But I think, yeah, it's taken over and has become the most popular dating app based off of users.
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
Yeah, it says launched in 2012 and in 2016 had 9 million monthly users. And it says this is this by far the most popular dating app, and the second most popular is OkCupid with 2.5 million monthly active users.
That sounds about right.
So yeah, it's the most popular now. I always thought OkCupid was Oklahoma specific, just because only saw references to it in Oklahoma, so because that's where I lived. Anyway,
that's. interesting tidbit that I just found out today when doing, you know, cursory research was it was not originally swiping to say yes or no. There was like a heart or a red X to say yes or no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you pushed the button?
Yeah, I guess that was pretty soon after that. It was that they found their iconic swiping mechanism to find the person of your dreams or day or whatever.
So, Derek, have you ever used Tinder to find the person of your dreams or your day?
No, I never. No, I'm a good Christian boy. I think it would have been out and semi-popular before Tanya and I got married. I'm trying to think. It should have been popular about that point, but it would have just been very bad for any Christian to use Tinder at that point. Because at that point, it solidly had its reputation to be all about casual sex and, finding people based on appearance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I considered online dating at some point, period, just because, I mean, I wanted to find a wife. But Tinder was never on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never used Tinder as well, I think. If it launched in 2012, I started dating Michelle in 2012. So, yeah,
okay.
At all points for me, it would have been, definitely a no. It's interesting. You know, you mentioned the one night stand that it's famous for and its reputation is, and just doing some research on like why people use Tinder. I found, there's two articles that I'm going to mention. And these are in the show notes. And one of them is focused on that question, like should or can Christians use Tinder? And that person mentions, you know, that it did have its initial reputation of just being casual sex, like a one night stand. But really since that point, it's evolved into more of a general dating app, and people accept it as such that if you're using Tinder, you're not necessarily looking for that. And so the other article, it lists out 13 motives for why people are on Tinder at any time. These, what was the 9 million users? No, that was...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the 9 million users, why are they using Tinder? And so it lists, I won't read them all, but the top one, I'll read the top four. And then maybe mention a few more. So the top one is amusement, that just to pass the time, maybe like someone would play a mobile game. Someone pulls up on Tinder and starts swiping right and left. Curiosity was the next one, and that was more like they downloaded it. Like, why is everyone talking about Tinder? Made an account, maybe did it for a couple of days, and then disappeared. Socialize. So actually, whenever you make a match, you can start talking to them. I think through the app and begin just chatting through text to getting to know them a little better. Mm-hmm. And so this is. Yeah, just a way to make friends.
Mm-hmm. And if we didn't mention it, it is like a very heavily GPS-based app. So like the people you're interacting with are in your area. Like you could theoretically say, hey, let's go to a coffee shop. And you can both go to the coffee shop in, not very long time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number four is love. So there, the number fourth reason for people use the dating app is for actual dating and long-term dating. And then we have...
I'm guessing like the first two motives are probably like those people don't stick around terribly long unless they like, oh, okay, this is an actual tool that I could use for love, or and then they switch to a different motive, I would imagine.
I think the amusement one, what this article was saying, like how that's the top one and that a lot of the regular users are actually just using it for amusement.
That's interesting. That's kind of weird.
And that's something we'll dig into a little deeper, I think. And so, so next is ego boost, distraction, flirting, meet LGBTQ, pressure, travel, and then coming in on 11th at the list is casual sex, then to forget X, and then to be cool. I guess everybody else is using it. I got to use it too.
Oh, man, that's interesting.
So... the future jump off a bridge is if all your friends were... No, that doesn't make sense. If all your friends are using Tinder, would you use it too?
Oh, man. Hey, that would work on a Christian community. It's like, if all your friends were using Tinder, would you? And then, of course, if you're one of the rebellious type Christians, like, yeah, of course, you can use Tinder for not sex. That is interesting that casual sex is so far down the list. And... I don't know how long ago this was, or I wonder what it was like from, the very beginning of the release of Tinder, like what the percentage actually was of people using it for casual sex, et cetera. Mm. Just like with Snapchat, how like everybody saw Snapchat as, this is a chat app that you can sext and not have, potential consequences down the road. Because people can save the photo, can't save the photos or whatever. I would guess that a lot of it got blown out of proportion because it's an exciting topic, and based on appearance, it's a very interesting topic to talk about. Which is semi appropriate for what we're talking about today.
So. This was written, it's a Psychology Today article, and it was on 2018. And so it's a recent study, I suppose. Not sure when or how the study took place. There's none of that data. But the study does mention that perhaps the casual sex statistic should be higher, and that people perhaps don't just want to admit that that's their main reason for using it. So that's something to keep in mind.
We're going to take a quick break and talk about our sponsor, Missionalware. Your Reformed Theology gift shop. Now, I just have one word to say to you guys. Bobbleheads. Missionalware is now stocking bobbleheads. You can actually get a Martin Luther bobblehead right now on Missionalware. These are high-quality bobbleheads, handmade, hand-painted. It's just delightful. I've always had a soft spot for bobbleheads, so... you should go check that out. They've also got, of course, plenty of other apparel and drinkware accessories that might strike your fancy as a fan of theology and church history. Missionalware has been doing this for over 7 years now, and they really know what they're doing as far as curating a batch of things for nerdy theologians. So if the Martin Luther bobblehead strikes your fancy, you should go check it out at missionalware.com and let them know that we sent you. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring this week of Tech Reformation.
Now moving on, just it's been pointed out that it doesn't have to be used just for casual sex. And in this article, should Christians use Tinder? The person who is Christian, kind of goes through her experience with it, and says, you know, that a lot of people she met, or she met a good number of people who she did not want to pursue any deeper. And she also said, like, she only wanted to pursue relationship with other Christians. So she wasn't just looking for anybody. And she said about 2 out of the 10 people, 10 matches that she made were solid Christian guys looking for, another solid Christian, match, I guess. So that was interesting. Just trying to see, to see a side of it that I had never known any Christians would use Tinder. I've always had that perception of it. So yeah, what do you think, Derek? Do you think, Christians can or should use Tinder?
Well, as we know, Tank, technology can be categorized in either one of two ways, either good or bad. And there's no gray in the middle.
No neutrality.
Okay, so I'm going to sound really wishy-washy on this and, like, you know, super... It's a super typical answer, but it depends on how you use it, right? It's not just that. We do need to take into consideration what it is very, very good at doing and how it changes our perception of thinking, right? You could totally use Tinder as a legitimate dating app to, you know, find someone that that you're attracted to, and then you get to know them deeper on a deeper level, and you go from there, which is fine. But you do also have to. But technology can influence us in a lot of ways that we might not expect, right? Mm. So, mm-hmm. I've seen this example made, and I don't know exactly how accurate it is. It seems a little bit like a wives' tale-esque, but there's the argument made that that when the printing press came about, even just the structure that the book is, like, with the very, very specific lines of text, everything's very, very ordered. It gets the human mind used to thinking about things through it in a very ordered way, right? So it becomes much more textbooky, much more. The assembly line has come along. Like, our culture is very much about the assembly line, about efficiency. At least in America, very, very high about efficiency. Whereas other cultures are much more based on, you know, the emotional happiness of the populace and having that as the goal, that sort of thing. So the technology can have these subtle effects in how we think. And I think that can happen with Tinder too, which I think is where you're going, right?
Yeah. What kind of effects would you say you can see it having on you?
Well, if you get used to, if you use Tinder a lot, you can get into this thought process of, you know, just thinking about people from their appearance, which is entirely how Tinder is based. You get to interact with someone based on whether you think they're attractive and whether they think you're attractive. And then you go from there. Which isn't necessarily a healthy way to go about life, you know, going down the street and doing that. I will also say that, technology also comes out of how we think. So it's not like Tinder is tapping on something that we've never thought about before as humans, but rather it's kind of an enhancement of how humans think, right? It's kind of what I try to get at that when I say that technology isn't neutral, is because it has an origin and it has a purpose, and different people respond to it in different and sometimes predictable ways. So anyway. Sorry, I got off on a little tangent there, but how do you think Tinder affects us?
Yeah, I think similar to what you pointed out is that it really enhances our ability to judge people, make snap judgments. That the way that whenever I've been reading about it and doing research on it just recently, it says if you see someone standing in the corner swiping, you know, like, on Tinder. And so it's this, it, like, I've never seen someone use it, but from what I've heard about it and the pictures that are drawn in my head when I hear it described as someone just sitting there on their phone, swipe, 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 swipe. So like looking through people really, really fast.
Yeah, it becomes almost like an instinctual response when they come to a picture that they like. And like I've heard people, like I've heard of people lamenting, oh, I swiped. I don't remember which swipe is which, but I swiped left instead of right. Oh, I can't believe
my long lost love would have been there.
Exactly. It becomes very instantaneous, very in the moment. And, you know.
Yeah. And that's what really made me start thinking about this topic is, so moving to Tokyo, Tokyo has, they say like 40 million people, and in downtown central Tokyo, there's like 13, 15 million people in just a really small area. I don't know the size of it, but the circumference takes about an hour to go around on a train. I don't know. On a train that's stopping every 2 minutes. So it never gets super fast. That doesn't help at all, I'm sure, but it's not that big of an area. I could walk across it. So 13 million people enter. And then at one particular station, there's 4 million people that pass through every day. And at one particular crosswalk, there are 3,000 people that cross anytime the light changes. And so these vast quantities of people all live in Tokyo. And so I come from a town of 5,000. So growing up, I never saw any new people. You know, I mean, there are people I saw I didn't know for sure. But, you know, this on a daily basis, I wasn't seeing new people. I was generally seeing people I already met. And then even in my next biggest, the biggest city I lived in, about 500,000 people, and you get in your routine, you go to the same places. You generally don't see that many people where now I'm just a swarm of people pass me every day. And what I've noticed, and I've also learned that I really did this in the past when I went to crowded places like airports, like big cities, is that I, not every day, not every moment, but I often will find myself making these judgments on people. So pretty, wearing weird clothes. That guy looks like a nerd. Pretty, nice hair. Just like literally every single person that walks by me, just I think something about them. Yeah. And, you know, I don't continue the thought. I don't like, you know, if I say pretty is probably the most common one, but I don't like follow that person wherever they're going. But it's still this level of judging people based off of appearances. And it's suddenly thinking through that and trying to battle that tendency, I realize like I am essentially doing what Tinder is, you know. I'm looking at someone and making a mental decision, swipe left, swipe right. Like if I for some reason was going to talk to this person, would I like want to pursue a friendship or pursue anything or would I not? Right, left, right, left, right. And there's no desire to continue because the person just walked by and there's another 1,000 people right in front of me. And so, yeah, I just discovered. So whenever I started researching Tinder, I was like, is there anything that says like, we love to judge others and therefore Tinder is so attractive. And while nothing specifically said that, the top reason for using Tinder was amusement. And it hit me that like a huge reason people love Tinder is the same reason why I look at people, every single person I pass, is there's some semblance of, I don't know, joy or like, not joy, but like something we enjoy about looking at someone and saying, this person's valuable, this person's not, and then going on to the next person. And it's like we're taking this power upon ourselves to say, worth it, not worth it, worth it, not worth it. And I think that, you know, that ego boost thing it said, I think in general, we think, oh, when people say they like us, but I think even we're getting an ego boost because we're putting ourselves above all these little people that we're looking down on and saying, you're good, you're not.
That's so interesting to think about it like that.
So that's where I would struggle with this. The lady in the article that I pointed out, you know, she ultimately makes the decision that online dating in general is perhaps not for Christians. That
oh, really?
Shows a lack of trust in God. Yeah, I wouldn't go so far.
Yeah, the Bible says find a wife, right? So, I'm about that.
Yeah, and so, but I can see, you know, making judgments about people by appearance isn't always terrible. Like if I'm on a train and I see an old lady who's carrying something, I may make the judgment she would appreciate this seat and stand up, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe she was strong enough to handle it, but I don't think that's a bad thing to judge by appearance on, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think dating profiles, if you're spending time and you're thinking about it, thinking, could this be a match, and say yes or no, like that's not like, you know, reigning over people trying to say you're valuable or not. That's a fair judgment. But yeah, I think Tinder specifically, I don't know for sure the hearts of any Christians who use it, but I can see, like you were saying, that this really enhances that power to, instead of having to be in a place of 4,000 people to just judge all over the place, like this allows us to just sit there and makes these snap judgments over people. And I think that's a really dangerous power and really taps into, an unhealthy aspect of our heart that, of our tendency to judge by appearances alone.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, like, yeah, just Christians and judging by appearance?
Well, there is an aspect of it that's like, it's mostly harmless. I mean, we do make those judgments all the time as human beings about people that we interact with. And I would say a lot of the time it's harmless, but we do need to be aware of the fact that it's happening, right? That's half the battle, is knowing that, hey, this is the thought process I'm going through. And, you know, this is a really easy target to pick on, but like, do we come to the same judgments about people of color as, you know, white people, like when we interact with them? That's something to think about. A lot of people do. But there was a time a couple of years ago that I realized, hey, I don't actually like think the same about these different people, which is, again, very good to know. That is a dangerous thing. Once you start categorizing people as something other than yourself, it can get weird and sinful. So, and the same thing, you know, with, I'm sorry, these are really hot button topics, but, and the same with, like, do I interact with women the same as men? Like, can I interact in a friendly way with women, and do I interact the same? Should I interact the same? Like, thinking about those deeper thought processes is important. But I can't say that those judgments, like those judgments based on appearance, are as a whole bad. There certainly are times when it's bad. It brings to mind, like, when God has sent Samuel to look for to anoint the new king of Israel after Saul, like, and he goes to Jesse's house, and he goes through all the brothers. The first brother, Eliab. Let me find the reference here. So when they came, he meaning Samuel, looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Basically, just based on appearance. I'm guessing he was handsome and tall, like Saul. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Obviously, we're not anointing the king of Israel every day. That's not really a situation we get into.
Maybe you're not.
But the statement from God is, one might call it insightful, except the Lord is eternally insightful, that man tends to look on the outward appearance. Understanding that tendency is good.
Yeah, I think... I agree. And like I said, that the judgment of like the elderly lady is good. And we're going to make some level of judgments like that. But yeah, I would have to say that just the mass judgment of people and generally the thoughts that I think when I judge them, in the sense of purely flesh, purely based off what they look like or what they're wearing or what they're doing, when I could very easily be, just pick an obvious Christian discipline. I could just be walking straight and praying and ignoring all the people that are walking through me, you know, mm-hmm. like that would be much healthier. And I would say, at least the conclusion I've come to for myself, that it is sinful the way that I am looking at people. I think the story that you brought up with David is a really good one. As far as looking at appearances and how the Lord chooses maybe the one that we would least choose. Mm-hmm. But when we look at into the New Testament and get into Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Mm-hmm. What Paul's saying here is like, because Christ has died and we live for him, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a little later. That, even if I am regarding somebody and making judgments on them, as Paul says, we regard no one according to the flesh. These fleshly judgments of like, what are they wearing? What do they look like? Even in the Old Testament, they had no value, but even more now, as we die with Christ and are raised again, and we seek for others to be also. Mm-hmm. That should be much more the judgment I should be thinking. If I'm looking around, I should be praying for these people, like their flesh, in a sense, shouldn't have a draw on me, in the sense of like what I'm focusing on about people I meet or people around me. I should instead be thinking like, how is their spirit? How is their relationship with God? Are they reconciled to him or not? And then even then in the church, in Christians, like, you know, it says that God uses the weak to shame the strong and the foolish to shame the wise. And so that's 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, am I judging people like, oh, he's smart, he's handsome, he's charismatic, he can be used by God? Or am I praying like, God, how do you want to use this person? And I think tender and the way that I treat people when I walk around shows kind of the opposite of God's standard for living and how we should be thinking and praying about people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even in James 2, James writes, My brothers show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him?
In a modern version, it might be, have you not swiped right on the rich man and swiped left on the poor man?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, it's that's pretty good. Well, listeners, we would love to hear your feedback on this topic. And actually, your experiences with Tinder. I would be super interested to hear if there's anybody in our community who has used Tinder. I'd love to hear your experiences about that. You can go to slack.techreformation.com to sign up for our Slack workspace and chat with us. We got a whole bunch of different interest channels there if you're interested in just about anything. We have a ton of channels open, so hit us up there.
You can also go to our website, techreformation.com, and find all of our past episodes and topics,
as well as twitter.com/techreformation. You can tweet at us there. We'd love to hear from you. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
and I ain't looking back.